This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Marine Corps Major General Jeffrey Higginbotham. We want to get his reaction to the president's speech last night regarding the end of combat operations in Iraq. Is it really the end of combat operations for the 50,000 U.S. troops remaining in Iraq? And do we actually expect that all of them will be gone by the end of next year? And, General, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you again for, you know, having me on your show this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. And, General, obviously, you had a chance to hear the president's speech. He spoke for a little more than 15 minutes, talked about a couple issues in addition to the situation in Iraq. But in terms of him declaring the end of combat operations, do you believe it's the right time for that? And are our troops now free from combat over there?
Well, actually, they're not stopping combat operations because you have about 4,500 special forces there that are conducting, operations in Iraq. So the question is, really, with the 50,000 troops that are still there, what may happen if they come under attack and, of course, some of them may be killed or maimed? And so it's kind of interesting that the president gave this speech at this point in time, but I believe it's really because of the midterm election coming up, and the president knows that his poll numbers are dropping, and so people are losing a little faith in him based on what's happening in the economy. So politically, it was the right time for him, but militarily, it wasn't the right time.
Because of this potentially political decision, does it put our troops at any sort of disadvantage, or is it mainly just semantics?
Well, there's no government in place. You know, the election occurred on March the 7th, and so the real issue is between the outgoing Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and the former interim Prime Minister al-Wahi, because in the first election, the Sunnis really did not vote. And so they came out and voted this time, and so they supported al-Wahi. And so the Shiites are very concerned about the Sunnis assuming any power at all. And so that's why there's a division at this point in time and no established government.
We've dealt with both of those men, obviously, over the past several years. Iyad Alawi, the former Iraqi prime minister, and now, of course, Nouri al-Maliki. And you say now it's going back to Iyad Alawi, but we just need to form the government. Is this a step forward or a step back for our mission there in terms of the changing of the leadership in Iraq?
Well, you know, President Bush had three objectives when we went into Iraq to begin with. And one was the destruction of the Iraqi military, which was primarily all Sunni. And the other one was the distraction of the Ba'athist regime and replacement of that regime, you know, with hopefully a pro-U.S. democratic government. The first two were accomplished very quickly when General Petraeus came on scene, and he realized that we couldn't fight everybody. So, and the Sunnis were very concerned after our 2006 election when the Democrats took control of Congress that we were actually going to leave. And so engaging the Sunnis, they turned on the foreign jihadists. We were able to take them out and then deal with the Shiite militia. So the surge, in reality, it really didn't have an impact in terms of total numbers, but it had a psychological impact because President Bush just did just the opposite of what the Democrats wanted him to do. So everything was really kind of going quite well, but during the last 18 months since Obama has been the president, we really haven't gone forward in trying to establish a new government in Iraq.
The president spent a decent amount of time in the speech thanking our troops, saying they've accomplished everything asked of them, talked about the sacrifices they've made as well as the families. We heard certainly from the administration well before the speech that there'd be no mention of things like mission accomplished or even victory. How would you classify what's been achieved to this point in Iraq? Is it qualified as a victory in your mind?
Well, no, you can't say victory, and you're not going to hear anybody in this administration or anybody, for that matter, really talking about victory. You're not hearing anybody talk about a victory or winning in Afghanistan either. And so the fact is that winning is all about the tenets of war. And so if you can't win, you shouldn't go there to begin with. But there is a chance that within the next decade, good things will come out of Iraq. And so you might recall that during the campaign, President Obama said Iraq is the bad war and Afghanistan is the good war. In reality, there's greater potential that good things will come out of Iraq as opposed to Afghanistan, which I don't think we've got a chance at all based on the current counterinsurgency plan in winning in Afghanistan.
General, is there anything you thought that was glaringly missing from the speech, or should have been elaborated on further?
Why, sure. If he's going to give a speech like this, he can't just talk about Iraq and Afghanistan. He's got to talk about what's our grand strategy. You see, this administration won't even admit the fact, you know, that we are at war, whereas the jihadists have been killing Americans for almost 30 years. And so, in reality, we are fighting a worldwide war against jihadists and a fomenting global caliphate. And so terrorists frequently talk about what they want is a world controlled by Muslims, Islam, and Sharia law. And so you've got other locations besides Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, you've got right now Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is considered more dangerous than any other location. So it's really, what is the grand strategy? How are we going to defeat them? And so you can tell by the president's expression that this is really not part of his agenda. This is not what he's really interested in. He's interested in his domestic agenda. And so there was no grand strategy that came out of that presentation last night.
What'd you make of the fact that he did talk about his economic agenda during a speech ostensibly designed to talk about Iraq?
Well, that's politics. And again, it's set the stage, for the midterm election. And that's why he gave the speech at this point in time anyway. And in reality, he really should have waited from a military perspective until a government is in place in Iraq. Then he could actually fly over there, stand there, whoever's going to be the prime minister, and declare some form of victory. And so it's all about timing. So this was a political time frame to give the speech when he did.
On Afghanistan, the president talked about the fact that he sent more troops to Afghanistan in an effort to try and stop the Taliban's momentum and make sure that Al-Qaeda and its allies don't have a safe place to be harbored as they plot future terrorist attacks. What do you make of his current strategy in Afghanistan, and how would you tweak it, if at all?
I really don't think the counterinsurgency plan is going to work because we've been there already 9 years. Counterinsurgency includes winning the hearts and minds of the people, but also has very restrictive rules of engagement. And so we're sparing the lives of the Taliban and other jihadist organizations while our troops are being killed and maimed. I believe what needs to be done is just like how we defeated the Taliban to begin with was unconventional warfare, where we used special forces, elements of the Marine Expeditionary Unit, drones, and fixed-wing aircraft, and that's how we defeated them along with the Northern Alliance. So we really ought to be operating out of what they call lily pad bases on friendly locations, and you're using special forces, you're using Marine Expeditionary Units, you're using drones and fixed-wing aircraft, and you go after them on a worldwide basis. And you're basically telling rogue nations that are supporting them that we're coming. It doesn't matter. We're a superpower, and we're coming after you. I mean, we've had 22 soldiers or Marines killed in 5 days in Afghanistan. And so I attribute some of this to these, I consider, ridiculous rules of engagement. And so the American people are not going to tolerate us being there for a long time. And President Karzai knows, he knows that we're not going to be there for the long term. Pakistan knows we're not going to be there for the long term. So it's really all about how do you defeat the Taliban, how do you defeat the jihadists coming in to Afghanistan, and, of course, going to Yemen and other locations throughout the world. It's a worldwide effort that you have to take on here, and the president didn't even talk about these other locations and how to defeat them.
General, unfortunately, our time is up, but it's great to have you with us today, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Retired U.S. Marine Corps Major General Jeffrey Higginbotham. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.